You know, we just have so many things going on in our lives. A lot of times it's good that we have a calendar because we're always looking ahead to something. Maybe the release of a movie, maybe a new grandchild, maybe a trip going somewhere. Maybe it's something as simple as going to the doctor, going to the dentist. Matter of fact, Vicki asked me tonight, what time's my hair appointment on Friday? Like, I have no idea. But, you know, doctors, dentists, school events, work schedules, going on vacation, going out someplace, how many should we make the reservation for, who's going, where are we going, how would we get there? And then, you know what, you might actually have to realistically think about being able to work it out, time-wise and financially, because if you're thinking about taking a trip to Hawaii from Maine, Wally and Vicki, you'd have to figure out how much time you'd be able to take, and could you afford to go there? And then would you want to take all five of your children and their significant others and their grandchildren? That could be really quite a vacation. So you got to say, hey, do I have the time? Do I have the money? Is it something I really want to do, or is it something I feel like I have to do? Or maybe a little bit of both. Or have I been asked by someone else to do something? And what would I need to do to work it out? So, I mean, there's a lot of situations where we need to maybe compromise a little bit or rethink things through. And we're always in situations where it might require us to be a little bit more flexible. And then there's also the unknown thing. That come up. And sometimes we may have plans that we have to change our plans, right? Mm-hmm. Something comes up. Maybe a loved one passes away or someone that you know and you've got to go out of town or, you know, you need to make a trip to the hospital and see somebody who's ill or maybe they just had a baby. I've had opportunities. I remember one time my mom was visiting when we were in California, and oh, lo and behold, about midnight, I guess, my brother knocked on the door and said, Barney, are you awake? I said, well, I am now. What's up? He said, I need you to come upstairs. Mom's having a problem. So lo and behold, there we go. We get up midnight, go upstairs, and mom's having some kind of issue with her health. That now is going to require calling 911. So here we are at midnight or 12:30 calling the 911, got the fire department, four husky strapping young guys come in. And of course, she's upstairs. And once they go up there and evaluate, they determine that she needs to go to the hospital. So now they have to figure out how to get her down the stairs, out the house, and into an ambulance. And she did spend the night in one of the local hospitals. She had something called atrial fibrillation, which I guess is a relatively common thing. But, hey, that was an unexpected event, right? We didn't know that that was coming, but we had to adapt. We had to adjust. We had to learn to be flexible in the middle of that situation. And so that kind of, you know, begs to ask the question, how do you respond in situations like that? And I kind of phrase it like, what do you do when life throws you a bone? When something that comes up that's unexpected, and how do you respond in that situation? Years ago, there used to be a television character. His name was Gumby, if you remember him. He was pretty popular a few years back, and, you know, sometimes I'll see something that reminds me of him. He was this green clay figure, remember? He became animated with quite a unique personality. Believe it or not, according to Wikipedia, the U.S. Marine Corps even developed some language regarding this character, and they referred to it as Semper Gumby, which was a colloquialism denoting tactical flexibility and the ability to quickly adapt to changing circumstances And it came from the flexibility of the character in the children's animated show, Gumby. And as I was saying this, I said the word Gumby, and Vicky was looking at me saying, flexible? Are we flexible? And that's the thing about that green clay figure. You could bend it and twist it in all sorts of different directions, right? And then eventually he would probably return to that form that he originally was. But he had the ability to be flexible. And, you know, I probably use that phrase, stay flexible, Gumby, more than once over the years. And I'm speaking about to somebody about a situation or circumstance that had some type of unknown variable that might require a completely different course of action than what was expected or what was even being prepared for. And I know that you have found yourself in those situations yourself more than once, I'm sure. And possibly, you know, obviously it's a simple, you know, and maybe a relatively silly example, but the point remains. Are we flexible enough to adapt to the circumstances and the situations as they arise, and many times unexpectedly? So in the days that Jesus lived, do you think everything was right politically? Mm-mm. What'd you say?
Mm-mm.
No. Was everything right socially?
Uh-uh.
Was everything right morally?
No.
Were there things that were going on in that culture that could have been disturbing?
I think so.
Yes, absolutely. And was there unrest, concern, maybe in a similar fashion to the culture of today? Possibly. Possibly. Yes. I mean, we may be stretching it a little bit. And Jesus made a lot of statements about a lot of different situations. And as we know from reading about the life of Jesus Christ, he adapted well and he adjusted well as the situations warranted. You know why he was really able and capable of doing that? Because of his relationship with God and his ability to really control his thinking and to be adaptable and go to God in those types of situations where, you know, quite frankly, didn't know what to do. And, you know, what we have to learn from this is that, you know what, we're created for something and to live our lives for something much greater than ourselves. It's not learning how to adapt to situations and circumstances. I mean, I think the natural man could do that. It's learning how to walk with God in a variety of different circumstances and situations. And in the process, continuing to learn to praise God through it all, that we don't wait for all the right variables to come into a place, that I'm kind of calling it, you take your medicine every day, all day. Well, some of us can be very concerned about the types of medicines we take, when we take them, the time of day, how many, blah, blah, you know, all that sort of thing. But how about we praise all day long, every day? We start the day with praise. We end the day with praise. We incorporate the praise thinking into our process and into our day-by-day living.
Mm-hmm.
Really something. See, we're created to live for something much greater than ourselves. And I wanted to look at Psalm 145 tonight. Just such a really awesome thing. I mean, you think about the people who lived maybe 3,000 years ago. They didn't have plumbing. They didn't have hot water showers, no media, cars, no conveniences. And you might think, well, geez, they didn't really have that much. But you know what? Especially in Psalms, like we'll see here, a lot of these people, David and those who sang the Psalms, they experienced a level of happiness in God that many today, they do not have, and yet they desperately need it. So in looking at Psalm 145, it's one of those Psalms that it's a good one to read a lot. because it stirs up the kinds of thoughts and feelings about God that are really good to have.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God just energizes us and strengthens us. And you're going to see as we kind of look through this and read it, just how refreshing and energizing and strengthening it really is. Many of you probably have the King James. I'll be looking in the New King James. And the first phrase says, I will extol you. Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Man, that's got to be a figure of speech of some type.
Yep.
Verse 3, King James, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty act. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. There it is again. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are fallen and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name. If you go back to verse 1, it's amazing because Psalm 145, verse 1, it says, I will extol thee. And you know what? Psalm 145 starts with a vow. It's a vow to extol or to exalt or to set on high above all others, to let others know our high opinion. Another translation says, I will speak highly of you, my God and King. The beginning starts with a commitment, a vow to praise God and to do it every day and to do it forever. I will extol thee. I will raise you up. I will lift you up. I will glorify you. I will praise you highly, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. What is the purpose of life? The ultimate purpose of life is to extol, is to lift up and magnify and to glorify God. You know, if you begin to say, I will lift you high, God, my King, you will begin to see a dramatic change. And it's that, this sort of talking that really defeats the enemies in our lives as they come against us and overcomes our problems. It is the medicine we need for a broken heart, a sad heart, a worried heart, and it opens up great avenues for peace and joy to flood our heart. We have to get our speech in alignment with the promises of what God has to say. That's exactly what the renewed mind is, right? To say the sayings of the word. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we learn to say the things and the sayings of the word, to hold that word. We say things to ourselves about ourselves that are in agreement with what God says. There's constant conflict about that. But we say the things about ourselves that are in agreement with what really the truth really is, and that is what God says. And this psalm, it calls us, each and every one of us, to bless, to praise, to sing, and to speak out loud about God. It says, every day I will bless you and praise you. I will declare your righteousness. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. All your saints shall bless you. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. You know, in verse 3, such a great one, I said, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Another version says, great is the Lord and worthy of much praise, whose grandeur is beyond understanding. Look, the Lord is definitely worthy of our most enthusiastic praise. We can praise God for his power in the creation, for his love to us in Christ, for his grace in our salvation. And yet, those works of God are far beyond, really, our ability to comprehend in our own understanding. We can praise God and look to God and magnify God because of what he's done in our lives, the places that he's brought us from, the history that we have. David refers to these things as mighty acts, awesome deeds, and wondrous works. Mm-hmm. I've many times said praise confuses the enemy mm-hmm. because, and Joyce Meyer said, praise is the believer's greatest weapon. Because the one thing Satan wanted in the beginning was praise. And boy, I'll tell you what, he turns tail and runs the other direction when we look him in the face, in the eye of circumstances and situations where he thinks he's got the upper hand, and continue to praise God, to just continue to praise. And when we praise God, you know what? Something supernatural really does happen in our circumstances. But always it happens within us. Walls come down, enemies are defeated, giants are defeated, problems are resolved. Or they certainly become much smaller. Darkness turns to light, demons flee, healing takes place, depression, fear, anxiety, pain, and they're all cast out. They go. And our souls are revived as we magnify and glorify God. So, you know, we never want to let the feeling that we're experiencing in a given moment stop us from continuing to give praise. We're going to praise God in the storm. We're going to praise God in the calm. We're going to praise God no matter what. And reading about these things in Psalms is not to condemn us. But what it does is it tugs on our hearts. It inspires us to take us to new places of worship and new places of delighting in God. And so I'd love to read these sections and these verses because it continues to just inspire me to more and more want to offer my life and, like it says, offer the sacrifice of praise that brings this goodness of God to us. In verse 18, it says, the Lord is nigh or near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. Remember Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee, right? All we got to do is call out. The Lord is close, nigh and near unto them that call upon him. We praise him for his presence, for being there close to us. We pray that he praise him that he'll never, never leave us, that he watches over us, all of those who love him and have called them to eternal life. He keeps us, he guards us, he protects those that he loves. Verse 20, the Lord preserves all them that love him. See, you know, David began this psalm with a determination, call it a resolution if you want, to magnify the name of the Lord. And then after all of these verses and all these reasons why he is determined to do this, he ends the psalm with the same, very same resolution or admonition or exhortation, and calls on all people to join him. Look at verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, we have to fight conversations in our own minds about ourselves. And like somebody once said, there is a flow of self-talk going on in our hearts literally every moment of every day. And correspondingly, there is a stream of words flowing from our lips every day. So my exhortation, my thoughts tonight are, let's be more determined every day, every night, and all throughout the day, to lift high the name of God and to praise him. And especially if we have that perfect spirit, to praise him in spirit and in truth, and to praise him with all of our hearts and with all of our mouths. You know, in closing, I'm reminded of that verse in Psalm 150, a couple pages over, the very last page and very last verse in the book of Psalms, Psalm 150, verse 6. And it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Every time we take a breath, when we breathe out, let's breathe out praise to Almighty God, because when our lives have come to a close, we have no more opportunity to praise the Lord, to praise God. And if we will take this simple exhortation, a simple solution, take our medicine every day, morning, noon, and night, and continue to consistently and faithfully offer praise from a pure heart to God, life will take on a new meaning, and you will see transformation occur, which is the very thing that God has in his heart for each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
So, Heavenly Father, thank you for opportunities like this to just uplift and strengthen each other, Father, so that we collectively are just offering our hearts, our mouths, our lives, our service, everything that we are, to you, Father, in sacrifice of praise. And you've given us that Holy Spirit that we can now praise you perfectly and worship you in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that our days will be filled and we'll be refreshed and revived, Father, spiritually, as we take our minds off ourselves and put them on the greatness of who you are, what you've done, how you've blessed us, how you've been faithful, and how you continue to work with us and help us, and that you have a home for us, Father, for all of eternity, where you just will show forth your kindness. And we thank you, God, for the joy and privilege of being able to speak these words tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Awesome to be together again. Leslie, Howland will take you off of mute. Have a word of prophecy, please.
Go forth, my mighty people, and speak my word. There are many still hungering and thirsting for righteousness out there, and you have the keys, you have the tools, my people, to give them life, to give them my love. I'm just yearning to have more people in my family, my people, because I love you all so much, and there are many more out there that need my love, that need my son, Jesus Christ. They need to see his example of how he walked this earth. He was the way, the truth, and the life, and they need to know this, my people. So hold forth that word. I will back up every jot and tittle, and there is nothing that I will not do for you as you stand on that word and stand for me, because I love you so much.
Wow. Great, great, great words. Father, thank you for our time together. And may we go on our way rejoicing, Father, realizing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we just offer our lives to you, Father, in willing sacrifice, that we will be transformed as we think about you, declare what you have already done and said, Father, that we can really be living epistles in this world and just be the greatest examples of your love. And we thank you, Lord, for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys are wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're blessed to be able to host this fellowship a couple times a week on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And hopefully someday soon we'll all be together again somewhere.
Maybe in the air.
Yeah, here, there, or in the air, right?
Right.
All right. God bless everybody.
Love you guys. Thank you. Praise God. Sleep sweet.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.
That's right.
Good night.
I love you guys, man. Talk to you later, Barney.
Bless you guys. Love you.
Bless you.
You guys too. God bless.
Bye. Bless your heart.
Good night. You should be a good boy during fellowship. You should be a good boy during